nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season, and they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor of Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Mason Woods behind the glass helping us out this morning. Plenty to get into today, and where we're going to start is with Jermaine Burton. Finally got around to doing the film breakdown for him, and we'll do that for the next 12 weeks. We'll have a player each week that we're going to break down. We'll have a position each week, a position group for the Crimson Tide that we'll break down as well, and also a team from the SEC each week leading up into the start of the college football season. Of course, things will get a little bit more hectic the further along we get into this, not just because of my lack of ability to commit to things such as this. 13 weeks is a hell of a long time, guys. But also, you know, we'll start to get close. And we won't have quite as much deep diving to do as we did last year heading into Miami, of course, because Utah State, it's Utah State. But we'll do our due diligence on that as well, and that will kind of match up with where that comes from. But nonetheless, going to have fun with that. We're going to talk about Jermaine Burton and a couple other things throughout the show. It is a Monday, so no guests, 205-342-9904. If you want to call in and join the show with any of your topics or thoughts on Jermaine Burton after I give mine, always more than welcome to do so. Before we get started, though, Alabama Vintage, 2210 University Boulevard, under the Crimson Awning across from City Hall in the heart of downtown T-Town. Go check them out and find something that you're going to love to wear that is vintage style and Alabama Crimson Tide as well. They've got jerseys, hats, shoes, commemorative T-shirts, sweaters, starter jackets. You know, probably a good idea to start loading up on sweaters and jackets now. I mean, it's hot as hell, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's usually the time you want to buy them. That's when it's a tad bit cheaper. So do so. Go see Charlie there in store. You can find them on the online store, alabamavtg.com. You can also visit them on Instagram at alabamavtg, where you can keep up with all the latest incoming stock and items, as well as any sales that may be coming your way. Jermaine Burton. I've said for a while that what I think Jermaine Burton is John Metchie. Now, perspective on the whole scale, not completely changed. He has a better shot of being a first-round pick than I think John Metchie did, which says a lot because John Metchie probably would have been a first-round pick had he not tore his ACL, the way that his stock kind of boosted towards the end there. The fact that he was, what, the 42nd, 44th overall pick? I mean, that's just a couple of picks away from the first round. You know, it's not insane. Also, if it was, he wasn't involved in such a wide receiver heavy class. So there's a lot of things that kind of went against Metchie being a first round pick. But I think Burton has one advantage that Metchie didn't really have. Now, the funny thing is for a lot of people, they're going to look at, and of course, this was probably earlier on. We all know that Jermaine Burton was the best wide receiver on the Bulldogs roster last year until George Pickens came back. Pittsburgh Steeler, George Pickens, by the way. That said, Burton's numbers don't make a lick of sense. 53 total career receptions. 53! Last season, Jermaine Burton, the best wide receiver on the roster until George Pickens returned from his ACL injury that kept him out for all but two games, played 39% of George's offensive snaps without sustaining an injury of his own. He's not one that I'm aware of because last I checked, when I looked at his game logs, he had stats in every game. Just not a lot of them. Of the 388 snaps that he played, 163 of those were rundowns, which A says he wasn't used on rundowns because the Bulldogs ran the ball a lot. Says that the Bulldogs rotate their wide receivers way too much. And says that maybe he's not a good blocker. I doubt that very much. In the few times where I did happen to see him block a couple of times, he's not Megatron. Like, he's not bulldozing people. He's not Hines Ward, right? But he's serviceable, right? He gets in the way.
Does he have the same kind of, because I like Metchie was a very physical, very, you know, he was going to go out and punch somebody as a blocker. Like, does he have that?
Okay. I don't think so. Maybe he develops that here. Maybe he's actually given the chance to block. But when you, few times you see him get the chance to block, because think about it. Georgia has insanely good tight ends. Like, they don't have good wide receivers. They have insanely good tight ends. So they trot out, you know, 12 personnel and 21 personnel and all this other stuff. They've got tight ends on the field to block. They had bigger wide receivers that they would put on the field to block. Because you know who would punch you in the mouth, figuratively and literally, was George Pickens. So, you know, once Pickens got back, I mean, he was going to be out there to block instead of Jermaine Burton. You're welcome for that. It's not saying he can't, saying it wasn't really shown. Here, he's going to have to do it. Alabama's not going to rotate a big receiver in just to block, right? Alabama's not going to give you a notion of what's coming just because they know that if they do that, they're still going to win, right? They're not going to do that. Burton is going to be on the field almost every single snap. So I just listed off a whole bunch of reasons why it makes so much sense for Jermaine Burton to have come here. Play for Stetson Bennett throwing you the ball with 39% of the snap count despite being the guy, or play 90% of the snaps with Bryce Young and be the guy that has to replace about 180 receptions last year, because nobody else is going to do it, right? You stake your claim now if you want to, and Trayshawn Holden or Ja'Cory Brooks, the idea that Jordan Addison's going to come here. If you want to be the Tyler Harrell guy, you'd go right on ahead. I'm not joining that ship with you yet. Not doing it. If I had to pick one guy who is ready to come in and eat the lion's share of those 180-some-odd receptions that Alabama's offense has to replace from Jameson Williams and John Metchie, I'm going to pick the guy that has John Metchie's skill set and the opportunity to eat those targets. Because think about this for 5 seconds. I'm telling you that Jermaine Burton is a faster version of John Metchie, and that John Metchie caught 96 passes in 13 games last year while being unequivocally, undisputedly, the number two receiver
in this offense. And that Jameson Williams caught around 90 passes himself. Who do you think is going to catch these passes? Who do you think that Bryce Young is going to throw the ball to? It's Jermaine Burton. And I don't think things could have been any more obvious than they were on the first two plays of A-Day. An RPO slant that was completed to Jermaine Burton. And the very next play, go route. Let's launch it over the top with Jermaine Burton. Now, the second ball, just barely out of his grasp. Hey, we got to learn a little bit. We got to grow together as a team. It's all good. But he damn near caught it. But it shows the things that he's good at in two plays. And what Alabama's going to do. They're going to force the ball to him a little bit. I mean, not crazy. Trayshawn's going to get his looks. Tyler Harrell's good. Somebody's going to see the sentence in here that says something along the lines of Alabama doesn't have a Jameson Williams on its roster this year. And they're going to be like, Tyler Harrell. And I'm going to tell you, first of all, he hasn't been officially announced. So, checkmate. And secondly, he's not going to get the same kind of reps that Jameson Williams got. Regardless, the point stands with Jermaine Burton. He has the skill set of John Metchie. So he's going to be the underneath route guy. And I found this kind of funny. When I was at the Senior Bowl, one of the guys that I was working with at Steelers Depot asked me, who do you think John Metchie reminds you of? And I said, Jarvis Landry. He's like, huh? I was like, yeah, he's, you know, probably not as quick as Jarvis Landry, but like the reliability in his hands, volume receiver kind of guy. I don't think there's been a better volume receiver in the league for the past 8 years than Jarvis Landry. He's not a fantastic football player by any stretch of the imagination. New Orleans Saints fans, I'm sorry. Like, this is, he's just going home for a year. Like, he's not going to do anything special with Jameis Winston. Did it again. And that's not saying I don't like John Metchie. It's not saying I don't like Jarvis Landry. They serve their role. Jarvis Landry was relied upon to be a number one receiver a couple of times in his career. Shouldn't have been. John Metchie, we thought, was going to be the number one receiver. It showed very quickly he was not the number one receiver. But he's one of the best number twos you could possibly ask for. That's what he's going to be in Houston, too. I'm telling you. And what's really hilarious, a couple months later, leading into the NFL draft, of all people, Daniel Jeremiah compared John Metchie to Jarvis Landry. I'm not making this up. I have it linked. There's a whole article about it. Go all the way back to Jermaine Burton coming out of high school and Greg Biggins at 247 Sports. Guess who he compared Jermaine Burton to? Jarvis Landry. Can't make it up. Intermediate routes, the quick first downs, sitting in zones, finding the zones, racking up the number of receptions. These are all the things that Georgia didn't really let him do. But when you watch him and you see what he does well, you're like, oh, why didn't you just run dig routes the whole game and make things easier on Stetson Bennett, at least in the passing game? Like, understand Georgia's strength was running the ball. I get that. But what I think inadvertently in my article with some of the film that I showed, I think I showed Stetson Bennett's best throw ever. And it's the last clip in the article, Tide109.com. And it is a dig route. It looks like one of the other Georgia receivers runs the wrong route, but it is like a 10-yard dig route. And Burton sits in the zone perfectly. And Stetson launched it, man. He fit it in the window. Props to him. Fantastic throw. I mean, he had to put all 140 pounds behind it, but he got it done, right? But that's the value of a receiver that sees the zone, understands the zone, runs his route accordingly, and fits in tight and has the understanding with his quarterback of what to do. It's what makes him dangerous. The quick hips to be able to run a curl route, like I included on this as well against Alabama, to be able to pull off an effective curl route is, it seems so easy, but it is hard. It takes your full body. It takes completely selling the go route, having a true threat as a go route option, and having the quick feet, the quick eyes, quick hips, everything. I think it's one of the hardest things to do as a wide receiver, if you ask me, outside of understanding coverage concepts. But those are the things that he does so well. Not to mention just superior hands. And all of that kind of leads into something that is John Metchie-esque, that is almost to a point I think can be quite possibly better than John Metchie, to the point where he is an elite slot receiver option when it's time to go to the NFL, and that he should be viewed as a first-round option, but not just because of that. It's because of what he has that neither John Metchie nor Jarvis Landry really have. Now, if you'll rewind your memory to 2020, you'll remember some of those seam routes that John Metchie got, right? Metchie played some of that slot, but also because for at least some of the season, Jalen Waddle was there. You know, you saw some moments where Metchie played on the outside, had some seam routes, had some go routes, some deep posts, all those different types of things, where he won on some deep routes. It's expected in the NFL that he's going to be a little, you know, as close to a possession slot receiver as can possibly be, but, you know, they're not going to just pigeonhole him to be the next Julian Edelman. Like, they're going to let him do his thing, or the next Jarvis Landry or whatever. He has the capability of getting downfield, is my point. Jermaine Burton has the skill and ability to stretch the field, to actually get behind the defense. That's something that John Metchie can't do. And that's dangerous. He's not Jameson Williams. Again, that's about the part in the article where that sentence lies, that there's no Williams on the roster. But it does allow Alabama the opportunity to actually be able to flip the field, to actually create explosive plays down the field with air yards under Bryce Young's throws. The ability to catch those seam routes, which are so devastating against zone coverage. The ability to expand your route tree, be able to run effective curls and digs, because you are a threat down the field. Now, in the article, I included just four clips that, yes, they did come off of a highlight reel of him against Mississippi State, where he absolutely torched the back end of their secondary. All four of these plays, it's JT Daniels just loop, tossing it over the top, and Jarvis, and Jermaine Burton being on the other end of it, wide open for most of them. Now, in 2020, Mississippi State's defense was horrendous. It was awful, right? And that's why I say you can't really kind of go off of that. The other big plays that he had were like against UAB. But at the same time, what opportunity was he given by Georgia to really be able to show that off? You know? What opportunity against an Alabama was he given to pull those off? None. Next to none. He did have a couple of big plays against Alabama in the 2020 season in that game here in Tuscaloosa. But for the most part, not given the opportunity to pull those things off in those big games, you handcuffed him. Georgia handcuffed this guy. And what I'm telling you is that at Alabama, all bets are off. They're going to unleash this guy. They're going to allow him to do the John Metchie thing, the Jameson Williams thing, the Jerry Jeudy thing. All of it. One thing I don't think you can expect him to be is Jalen Waddle. That's about it. The rest, it's open, man. The Devontae Smith thing, like, he's not going to be that good, don't get me wrong, but, like, just being the number one guy, the guy that has to soak in all those targets. Because we've said it before, Devontae Smith probably doesn't win the Heisman if Jaylen Waddle doesn't get hurt. It's a fair argument. Because all those targets from Jaylen Waddle, though the first six or seven targets of the game against Tennessee all went to Slade Bolden, it became clearly obvious that that wasn't going to be a long-term thing. And lo and behold, Devontae Smith ate all of those targets alive, caught nearly all of them, and made a Heisman highlight reel. If Jermaine Burton's in the same realm where a Heisman candidate quarterback has no choice but to throw him the ball, him and Jahmyr Gibbs out of the backfield, Cameron Latu, if he steps up this season, I've seen good things from Trayshawn Holden. I'm hoping that he can be that guy. I've been rooting for him for a long time. If Ja'Cory Brooks is ready to completely step up, if anybody's ready to completely step up and take the load off of Jermaine Burton, I'm here for it. But put things into perspective in the way that we see them right now, who the hell else is Bryce Young going to throw the ball to that he trusts until Jordan Addison makes a decision? Which I still don't know if I want to see Jordan Addison here. Because the rest of that is all unproven commodities. And you'll say, Jacob, this guy only had 50 catches at Georgia. Well, it's not because he's an unproven commodity. It's because Georgia's offense is archaic. Almost to a fault. To the point where it's hard for them to bring in quarterbacks. This five-star Vandergriff kid that I talked about in my preview of Georgia, I don't know how the hell he's still there. I don't know how Georgia hasn't lost him to the transfer portal. I'm not going to lie. Sitting behind Stetson Bennett. I don't get it. I don't get it. The Carson Beck guy, the one that actually won the backup job last year, I don't know how he's there either. What secrets does Kirby Smart hold over those two for them to want to be the backup to Stetson Bennett? Unless they're just waiting on Stetson to screw up. But that's what we thought was going to happen in the postseason last year for JT Daniels, and it never did. Somehow, Stetson played the two best games of his life in the playoffs last year. After playing one of the worst against Alabama in the SEC championship. But all that to say, like you can look at Jermaine Burton and you can kind of just tell, right? Just in the short bit that we got to see from him at A-Day, you can tell, like, this is an opportunity for him to not just simply be utilized, but to be a first-round draft pick because he went to Alabama instead of Georgia. Because if he stayed at Georgia, caught passes from Stetson Bennett, he's like a third-round pick at best. Despite all this talent, despite clearly having something special, he won't be utilized. But at Alabama, he's going to have to eat up all these targets. He's going to have to be the number one guy. He's going to have to do it all. And I think based off of the swagger that he carries himself with, the talent that he possesses, he's going to be able to pull it off. And that it's going to be something special. This isn't kind of the... So remember a couple of weeks back when I was trying to say I'm backing Ajayi Hall the same way that I did Jameson Williams and Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith, right after Jaylen Waddle went down, hey, stop sleeping on this guy. He's the number one receiver anyway. Jameson Williams, look, I'm telling you, that dude is he's nuts. He's special. He's going to go big. I'm saying the same things about Jermaine Burton. I think he's the number one receiver. I think he's going to be even more special than John Metchie was, despite being a very similar player. But I don't think I have to go out on a limb and call it like some sort of hot take or bold prediction or whatever. It's just the way it's got to be for Alabama. It's the way it's got to be for Jermaine Burton. It's the way it's got to be for Bryce Young. There is no choice in the matter. Otherwise, Alabama's going to have a really hard time throwing the ball.
I don't think it's crazy to really think that, I mean, just because of the way he's going to be utilized, like Jermaine Burton could easily put together a better season than Mechie and Jameson Williams both had last year.
Well, both?
Not like combined.
Okay.
But I'm saying like a better season than either, because he's going to get the same amount of targets. Like Mechie had, I think, 10 or 15 more catches than J-Mo did. I think J-Mo had like 80, Mechie had like 95 or something like that, somewhere around there. So he had the numbers of the number one wide receiver, but it was obvious watching the offense, he was not the number one option.
Right.
Jermaine Burton will be the number one option.
Yeah.
And he's going to get that amount of targets.
No, and I say that in the article is... I would not be surprised if he completely doubles his career reception mark. 106 receptions, which sounds like it'd be a record at Alabama. Sounds, I could be wrong. If you want to check that, it'd be damn close. I don't know many guys. No. Devontae Smith definitely had like 130-something. He had a stupid number that's never going to be touched. But nonetheless, we don't hear about a lot of guys at Alabama that are – go for it.
Amari Cooper at 124, number one.
That's right. That
Devontae
was
Smith, 117.
One of the few things that Smitty didn't break of Amari's. 124 is still a stupid number.
That would be hard to do.
That would be very hard to do. But think about it. Who else did Blake Sims have to throw to but Amari Cooper, right? That's why that happened. You know, if Amari Cooper's on the same team as Julio Jones, like, that's not going to happen.
He's one of the Alabama receivers, I think, of this crop, you know, in the last 10 years or so that I think gets the least respect because of the, you know, he was playing with Blake Sims, you know, it was kind of like, but you said it yourself, like, he did everything for this team.
He did. He did. And with Burton, it's not going to be quite to that extreme because obviously he's going to have a much better quarterback, but the necessity to live through him in the passing game until proven otherwise, seriously, 106 receptions? Hell, even going up against Devontae Smith's at least 117, that doesn't sound too crazy. If you consider the fact that, again, Mechie, 96 catches in 13 games. Had he played in 15, he'd have been challenging Devontae Smith as well because he was a volume receiver. He caught like, I don't know, like 8-9 passes a game or something stupid like that. But here's the kicker on all of that. And what I think makes him just a tad bit more special is, sure, Mechie caught 96 passes, 11.9 yards per catch, which is a fantastic number for a volume receiver. Burton averaged 19.1. Again, he's beaten up on small teams in Georgia when because their schedule was so soft last year. And he didn't do a whole lot against Alabama in the two championship games. As for Michigan, I didn't watch that game. So I don't remember the numbers yet. But 19.1, nonetheless, and the fact that he only had like 30 receptions last year should tell you plenty enough about it. When he comes down to about 15 or so, and you're talking about him having like 100-some-odd receptions, that's 1,500 yards and a number of touchdowns as well. That's a stupid season. Like, that is wildly impressive in college football and wildly impressive in the SEC because, I mean, you're not going up against scrubs, right?
I mean, that's exactly why he came to Alabama is because he knew he could have a season like that here.
And
he couldn't do that at Georgia.
Right, and you do that here, you're a first-round pick. You do that at Georgia, you're definitely a first-round pick. Don't get me wrong. You're just not going to do it at Georgia. Not for at least the next 2 years.
Not unless your name is Brock Bowers.
You know, Brock Bowers could totally do it. I love Brock Bowers.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned him yet on this show, but he is going to do bad things to the SEC this season.
I can't believe I didn't devote like a whole paragraph to him when I wrote down Georgia. He is insane. Insane. Nonetheless, though, I mean, it's plain and simple when it comes to Jermaine Burton. He's the number one receiver. We'll see just how much Alabama has to rely on him.
Do you think this season, you know, obviously Cam Latou, you know, he led the SEC in touchdowns last year, had a great season, but it's still one more offseason of him learning how to play tight end. Like, we talk about this a lot. He still does not fully know how to play tight end. Like, he has only been playing it a few years. He's still learning how to play the position. Do you think this season we see him kind of take away the heat from some of the receivers a little bit more so than last year?
I hope so. I'll say I think he knows how to play the position pretty well.
I think he's great, but I think he still has a lot of room to learn.
Right. Every player has a lot to learn, even when they become like the best or whatever. That's splitting hairs. But with him, I think what is going to help him a lot is just having a full off season to build his confidence. I think there's a lot to say about the fact that he had to split time with a Jahlil Billingsley who was in the doghouse and played terribly outside after like the first 3 weeks of the season, played terribly. And Latu still had to give up reps to him. Every now and then Latu would he'd start the game by dropping a pass. More often than not. So to me, that screams confidence issues. It doesn't scream lack of knowledge of how to play the position. So I think he's an okay blocker. I think he's an okay route runner. He's got okay hands. Once he kind of puts everything together, he could be a solid tight end. That's like a third, fourth round pick next year. And that'll go a long way for him if he can just build his confidence through that. But that's what I'm saying with when it comes to Burton is you can say the same thing about Trayshawn Holden. You can say not exactly the same thing. Everybody's got their own unique differences, but you can say the same thing about Ja'Cory Brooks. And if Jordan Addison gets here, you'd have something similar to talk about. You'd have something to talk about with Tyler Harrell as well and all this. I think Jermaine is more of a proven commodity that we should expect to be fantastic, whereas the rest is like there's just a whole bunch of IDKs, and that's frustrating to walk into your regular season with IDKs at as many positions as Alabama does offensively.
I mean, almost every position offensively except for quarterback and Jermaine Burton.
And Jahmyr Gibbs.
And
Javion Cohen.
But we don't know where Javion Cohen's going to play. We know he's going to be on the line.
I mean, it seems pretty obvious he's a stick at left guard.
We think. We haven't seen Tyler Steen in a crimson uniform yet.
True. That'll certainly shake things up. Saw a highlight the other day, by the way. Mari Kite absolutely like stonewalled somebody in the 8A game. So maybe our guy Mari Kite will step up. Who knows? We'll take a break. That was a really long segment. If you want to check in with your thoughts on Jermaine Burton or your thoughts on my thoughts on Jermaine Burton, more than welcome to 205-342-9904. The full article of my breakdown of Jermaine Burton, Tide109.com. We'll take a break, come back, talk about Jordan Addison next here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Work is a part of all of us. Working drives us to push beyond what we thought was imaginable and allows us to come together again for the things that really matter. That's why the Alabama Department of Labor and the Alabama Career Center System is here to help you discover bigger opportunities than ever before. Visit your local career center or alabamaworks.alabama.gov. Funding provided by the USDOL, PTA, and Federal WIOL, an Equal Opportunity Employer Program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request. Brought to you by this station and the Alabama Broadcasters Association.
I can go from 0 to 60 way too fast.
Who knew electric vehicle owners were having so much fun?
20 or 30 years ago, I owned a gas sports car, and this car is much quicker.
It's a great, fun car to drive. When you put your foot on the accelerator, it just goes.
They're fun, they're fast, they're efficient.
Visit driveelectricalabama.com to learn how you can start having fun driving an electric vehicle.
Sponsored by the Alabama Clean Fuels Coalition, the ABA, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. A chance of widely scattered showers or storms through the evening hours. A high today 87, tonight's low 64. Here comes the heat. Tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine, the high 90. Wednesday, sunny with a high at 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
back here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you. Mesa Woods across the glass. Jordan Addison, this Pittsburgh wide receiver. You don't want him?
I'm sick of transfers, man. Like I love the transfer portal. I do. I think it's great for these kids. But just quit bringing. Like, if you can't recruit, man, you can't recruit. Like, just admit it.
That is. See, I'm like in the same boat, but not quite. I still got one foot on the pier, one foot on the.
And I'm not saying Nick Saban can't recruit.
Right.
Nick Saban can recruit.
But what does it say about your ability to recruit when you are living off of transfers at one position?
It is obvious that there has been some sort of shift in, you know, I don't know whether it was, whether, I don't know if it was just these COVID years, you know, the inability to get out and scout some of these kids, like directly in person, maybe had an effect on it or what, but. It is obvious that there's been some sort of shift in the last couple of years where it's just like, well, we got to go get the kids that we know can play rather than these recruits that we think can play.
Which shouldn't that be what you do anyway, though, is get kids that you know can play instead of think? And if you miss on the guys that you think,
they transfer out.
Right. Exactly. I mean, Ajayi Hall's gone.
That might just be, maybe that's just the way college football is now. You know, you build your team through the transfer portal, and if you recruit a kid that doesn't pan out, he just transfers away.
Yeah. I mean, it's the way. In the NFL, at least there are contracts. You have to stay somewhere long enough. But if you draft a kid, doesn't work out, you probably get a free agent to fill his spot until you draft somebody, and that kid's gone. He walks after his contract's done, or you cut him, or whatever. Look at the Raiders right now. I mean, like all of their draft picks from like 2019, like they're almost all gone. So how'd they solve that issue? Well, they lost Henry Ruggs, and they lost Bryan Edwards, so they sign Devontae Adams, or they trade for him and keep Hunter Renfro. Like, you keep the guys that work, get rid of the guys that don't, find guys that will. The thing is, you know, he's set to visit Alabama. He's going to visit Texas. He's going to visit USC. Obviously, these are three schools with just stupid, ridiculous NIL opportunities. And not, you know, for what it's worth, you know, at least USC, like, there's a location factor where you could be like, oh, all these businesses, yeah, like, they have something to, like, lean on. With Alabama, it's the sport.
Yeah, I mean, does he want to go to the NFL or not?
Right. But also, like, it's the fact that all three of them, they just have a stupid amount of money, is what it is. That's how the NIL thing is working with the boosters and all that sort of stuff. It's where, when you kind of take a step back and you kind of look at this, you can kind of see the perspective from which the NCAA is viewing the boosters. It's like, well, if all the teams with all the money from all the boosters are going to get all the kids, then what are we doing? And to that way, I would say, well, that's been college football this whole time. You got to have the right. Arguably. Hot take. Arguably, the most important position for any collegiate program is head coach. You'd say that's not a very hot take. Well, look at Alabama before Nick Saban and during Nick Saban. You know, like, it doesn't, it's going to say, whoa, wow, that's super obvious, Jacob. Good job. You really narrowed that one down. It's the point of Alabama's always had the money. You know, Texas has always had the money. USC has always had the money. UCLA has got the money. Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, I keep going. I've always had the money. Clemson has not always had the money. They got the head coach. Now, that head coach didn't evolve well, and that's why I think they're at where they're at right now, and if he'll decide to evolve in some form or fashion, he'll get back to where he was. But you got to have the boosters. Don't get me wrong. But you've got to have the head coach. You've got to have that guy. Because without him, you're not going to get the right players. You're not going to develop those players. You're not going to create the cycle that Nick Saban has kind of created. Obvious thing is obvious, but it's still, like, to that point, that's how you create the juggernauts. So, yeah, when it comes to Jordan Addison, does it kind of make somewhat of a reflection of your ability to recruit? Yes and no, a little bit. Because I think it would be naive to look at the addition of a Jordan Addison to Alabama and just forget the fact that Nick Saban recruited Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and Devontae Smith, the rideouts. John Metchie, the extension of that. Right? I think it would be foolish to do that. If Trayshawn Holden turns out to be a star, very possible. If Ja'Cory Brooks turns out to be a star, very possible. If Christian Leary builds off of what we saw at 8A, very possible. JoJo Earl, I think he's got confidence issues at the moment. It's just my perspective. But if he builds on those and reaches that Jalen Waddle stat, I mean, that's all guys that Nick recruited, right? It's all guys that were brought in the original way through the system. But you can't just wait on those guys, right? It's win now. It's win at all costs. So you go get a Jermaine Burton. You go get a Tyler Harrell. And if need be, you go get a Jordan Addison, who, let me be clear, would undo a lot of the things I just said about Jermaine Burton. The need for Jermaine Burton to be a number one receiver, that's gone. The fact that Jermaine Burton is the number one receiver, that's gone. The idea of Jermaine Burton having 106 plus receptions and eating up all the targets from John Metchie and Jamison Williams, that's gone. Because Jordan Addison would step in and be the number one receiver. Jordan Addison would step in and eat his share of those 180 targets we talked about. Jordan Addison would step in, be the most lucrative NIL earner on the team, not named Bryce Young, possibly not Will Anderson. He'd step in and be the guy. So my question about Jordan Addison becomes less of, do you go get him? Because over the past few weeks, every time I brought him up since it became obvious that Alabama was interested, is, yeah, it's probably going to feel a little bit dirty if he comes here. But at the end of the day, we're here to win games. And it's the NCAA's fault that the rules are what they are, to the point where we can't feel totally comfortable with the state of the game. So if the rules are what they are, we're not breaking any rules, go get a Jordan Addison, because we're here to win football games. We're here to have the best roster out there. We're here to play joyless murder ball, whether the rest of the country likes it or not, whether I like it or not, whether we find it entertaining or captivating or not. Joyless murder ball is what we're here for, because we want to win convincingly and win natties. Go get Jordan Addison. Do you need him, though? Do you need Jordan Addison to win a national championship? And that's where I'm at the, I don't know. Because I look at this offense, and where I see the drastic need is at tackle. Is the combination potentially, most likely, of Tyler Steen and J.C. Latham, is that really the answer? I'll look at Tyler Steen later down the road and those individual players, but when it comes down to it, like, that's what you need. Bryce Young, with his youth, with his experience, with his talent, couple that together with the youth of the rest of the receiving core, I think somebody's bound to explode. Somebody has got to figure this thing out and work in unison with the quarterback within the passing game alongside Jermaine Burton. Somebody's got to do it. Then not to mention the fact Jahmyr Gibbs is a thing. Jahmyr Gibbs is really a thing. And not only is he a thing, behind him is Roydell Williams, Chase McClellan. Sorry, it's been a minute. Those two guys and Trey Sanders. That's a hell of a running game. And everything we heard in the spring is that regardless of what the offensive line is, the one thing they can do is run block. Let's just run the ball. Run the ball, Nick. That's all we got to do. Very simple, right? So I think you look around. You may not need Jordan Addison to win a natty. After all, Jordan Addison, Biletnikoff winner, Kenny Pickett, Heisman candidate. Pretty good Pittsburgh team overall. That wasn't what sent Pittsburgh over the top, right? That's why their ceiling was the ACC championships, because a wide receiver is not the be-all, end-all of whether or not you win championships. It's just, it's not. Ohio State had the best receiving corps in college football last year. Georgia had one of the worst. Who won the national championship? Who was even in the college football playoff? Really sit back and think about that. Cincinnati didn't have a great receiving corps. Alex Pierce is pretty good. Michigan didn't have a good receiving corps. They ran the ball, played tough defense. That's how they got there. Georgia did the same thing. Alabama had J-Mo and John Metchie, but Metchie got hurt before the playoffs. It's not the be-all, end-all. Look through NFL history. Since Jerry Rice and the 49ers had taken over the NFL, since then, not a lot of Hall of Fame caliber wide receivers winning Super Bowls. Am I remembering correctly? Randy Moss never won a Super Bowl, right? Terrell Owens never won one. Larry Fitzgerald never won one. I mean, that list is long. You look at the best receivers in the NFL today. Devontae Adams never won one. DeAndre Hopkins has never won one. Julio never won one. I mean, you can point to Odell Beckham, I guess. But he got hurt during the game. It's always a caveat, of course. No, you may not need him. 100 receptions, 15, nearly 1,600 yards, 17 touchdowns over 14 games, though. That sure sounds nice. I like to win football games. I don't fully care about the other side. Because I understand it. But at the end of the day, if what you're doing is evolving, and instead of putting your faith into usually arrogant wide receivers coming out of college or out of high school, and you instead put them into proven commodities who have channeled their arrogance and turned it into production and all that, why not use that guy? Why not evolve to the state where, you know, if all three of our wide receivers are out of the transfer portal, screw it. Bryce is throwing the transfer portal, guys. We're winning an Addy.
But I like Trayshawn.
I do, too.
I think that's my biggest issue, is I just really like some of the guys that we have on the team currently.
I do, too. I like Trayshawn. I like Ja'Cory. I want to see something out of Christian Leary or JoJo Earl. That is, those two have...
Potential is limitless.
It really. I mean, seriously. Either one should be Jalen Waddle if they just unlock it. So much speed, so much athleticism, so much ability in the open field. Like, just get there. Just get there. But I'll tell you this. Ain't nobody in Crimson. Because I say the same thing about Arch all the time, right? Ain't nobody in Crimson going to be booing if Jordan Addison's catching touchdown passes. Not none of us. So you can say, oh, I don't want him. Same way some of y'all do about Arch. I don't want him. You're going to be cheering for him when he's scoring touchdowns for you. That's for sure. If I'd have told you during the national championship, hey, you see number 7 for Georgia? He's coming to Alabama. How many of y'all would have booed that? Be honest. Because he didn't do anything in those games. Really? That guy? Yeah, that guy. We'll take a break. We'll come back and close down the show here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Everybody's trying to come out of retirement. Drew Brees joke yesterday. That I might play football in the fan run leagues. The game has passed you by, Drew. Then today, about 10 minutes into the start of the show, Antonio Brown.
Pittsburgh Steelers legend, Antonio Brown.
He wasn't a legend anywhere else. He was only a Super Bowl champion somewhere else. Somehow. Just want to retire a Steeler. Not play, just retire. I mean, I don't see the harm in it. I sure as hell don't see it happening either. I don't know of anybody that's had a weirder off-the-field story in sports that didn't involve, like the darkest of dark stuff as Antonio Brown since the day he left Pittsburgh. Just bizarre step after bizarre step. I don't know. That'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow we'll talk with AJ Spurr. Till then, the Jay Parker Show is up next. So y'all take it easy. Have a fantastic Monday, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow. Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. A chance of widely scattered showers or storms through the evening hours. A high today 87, tonight's low 64. Here comes the heat. Tomorrow a good supply of sunshine, the high 90. Wednesday sunny with a high at 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for listening to Off.